have to want for anything, because God will supply. Praise God. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. To the under-shepherd of this flock, Pastor Timothy B. Warner. To our assistant pastor, Reverend Dr. McKessa Holt. To the other half of the ministerial staff. I won't start with him today. My boo. No. To all our friends, family, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me also be the second to say Happy Valentine's Day. This is also a special day because it's my mom's birthday. So I want to give a birthday shout out to my mom and to my aunt who has come here to support, to my other cheering squad who is recovering in Holy Cross Hospital, my grandmother. I know she wanted to be here. She even told Pastor Warner that she would be here today. She may be out today, but she, you know, I know she is here in spirit, and I know she is praying for me. I wanted to lift only parts of the scripture today. There was so much, but God lifted out just sections of those two passages that I would like to bring to your ears today. And it's focusing on the book of Psalms, chapter 91, verses 1. And that reads, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then we can skip down to verse 14 to read, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him high because he has known my name." And then going over to Luke chapter 4, starting with the first verse, first and second verse reads, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry." Skipping all the way down to verse 13. "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." For those who are taking notes this morning, I want to title this sermon, "Sit, Walk, Stand: Positions for Wilderness Success." Again, sit, walk, stand. Positions for wilderness success. Let us pray. Speak through these lips of clay. Speak words you would have me to say. Speak, Holy Ghost, I pray. Speak, Lord, have thine own way. Father God, I just come to you as humbly as I know how, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. acknowledging you, God, as almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. God, at this time, you have appointed me to be an instrument of your word, and I thank you for that, God. I am privileged and I'm honored to have that opportunity. And I ask right now that if there is anything that is within me that is hindering for your word to be brought forth in only the way that you can, you know how, that you remove it right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for all that you have done and all that you will do. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the first Sunday of Lent. And I don't know about you, but it has kicked off in turned up mode. Okay? I almost wanted to kick Pastor when he was up here. I was like, because he in my sermon right about now. But it seemed like the landscape of our plush green world on Tuesday turned into a straight up jungle by Wednesday. I know personally the wilderness scene popped up right outside my door. Case in point, as soon as I walked into the office on Wednesday morning, before I can get on the elevator, I had a coworker approach me. And I'm enacting just the way she told me. She said, "Good morning, Tracy. Would you like some homemade fudge?" First thing in the morning, I said, "The devil." They know that I'm the one that goes and shakes the office down any other time for some chocolate. And here come greeting me at the door on Wednesday morning. It was turned up. Later on that day, one of my other coworkers came to me with brownies and cookies that were left over from a meeting. Mercy is right. And she gave me first choice before she even put it out in the kitchen. I said, "The devil." It was turned up. The next day, I got a call that my grandmother was being rushed to the hospital with a collapsed lung. On top of all the calls and texts that I received regarding various members of the congregation and their various trials, it was turned up. As challenging as this week has been to my flesh and to my emotions, I am glad to serve a God who can deliver us from it all. The wilderness is basically wild and sparsely inhabited land, or is unfit for permanent residence. It can be likened to a situation where we all of a sudden find ourselves in a place where we have been wandering off and ending up not knowing how we got there. It can be compared to a season that we experience when our resources have been cut off from us one way or another. It can very well be some of us an everyday life experience. In any case, I wanted to provide some encouragement on today to proclaim that even in your weakest state, in your darkest hour, God is there. It can be depression, anxiety, addiction, debt, eviction, baby mama drama, or daddy drama, that burger demon that tries to creep up on you at lunchtime, or anything else that seems like a fiery dart headed in your direction. God can deliver you. But you must be in position. When studying and meditating on these two scriptures that were lifted for your hearing, a book that I read a few years ago came to mind, and it was titled Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee. And if you have not read this book, I highly recommend it, as it will be a blessing to your life. It's a small 78-page book that covers the book of Ephesians, and it talks about three aspects of the believer: to God, to man, and to the enemy. These three key fundamental positions, sit, walk, and stand, are also defined and illustrated within these two scriptures that we read today, and are key to having success in the wilderness. The psalmist provides the instruction and promise, and the Gospel of Luke provides the illustration. In Luke chapter 4, after Jesus was baptized by John, the Spirit led him to the wilderness, and there he fasted for 40 days, eating nothing, and he was being tested by Satan himself. Aside from knowing that he was God in the flesh, this could have played out a whole different way had he not done things in decency and in order. If that would have been us, we would have had stone sandwiches, gotten all the fame and glory, and functioning out of our season within our prospective ministries. That being said, we are talking about Jesus, the one who knew no sin, which would make this absolutely unachievable, right? Well, Hebrews 4:15 states, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Meaning that Jesus' success in the wilderness can be ours too, if we could only get in our proper positions. Position one is to sit. The psalmist in chapter 91 starts off with, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." In Hebrew, the word dwell means to sit, remain, or stay put. Meaning that one would have to decide to take permanent residence in the presence of Almighty God. While it seems like a defenseless and non-threatening position, it is the most critical position that we need to assume on a continual basis. Sitting is a proactive position that prepares us for whatever comes our way. It is in the sitting where we avail ourselves to God in prayer, having one or two-way conversations, meditating on his goodness, studying and meditating on his word. He equips and prepares us. It is in the sitting where we are consumed with the Holy Spirit. It is in the sitting where we learn to hear his voice. It is in the sitting in the presence of God where we are empowered to carry out his will and his way. We have opened up our vessels to allow him to rest, rule, and abide in us because we are abiding in him. But we often find ourselves sitting at the mercy seat for only as long as we can stand it, and not as long as God is requiring us. We have developed spiritual attention deficit disorder, where our priority focus have been all over the place. Our surroundings, the people around us, our circumstances, and it oftentimes, if not all the time, lands us there in the wilderness unprepared. We end up running off half-baked, exerting all of this energy, and all God is asking us to do is sit. Unpack your bag, put your clothes in the closet in the drawer, stay a while so that I can equip you with what you need. When we don't spend the quality time with God by not sitting in his presence and not meditating on his word, we are opening ourselves to danger. But we know too much, right? Have you ever met somebody who had an answer for everything? They're the ones with the issue, but yet you can't tell them anything because they know all that you are trying to tell them. They don't listen. You see how we amen to that? We do the same thing to God. We end up interrupting him mid-sentence and proceed in doing what we do best, our own thing. God is all-powerful and merciful and can even get us out of our mess that we have gotten ourselves into. But wouldn't it be easier if we consciously decided to take residence and stay a while to ensure that we have guaranteed safety. In order to understand the will of the Father, Jesus had to sit and absorb and listen. That is nothing unattainable for us. We just have to determine what is going to come first in our lives, his will or ours. That is where we find our true peace and rest. But we know that too much of anything is not good for you, right? Amen. Some of us can get caught up in the house and overstay our welcome. There's such a thing as sitting too long. We cannot be of any use to the building of the kingdom of God if we are just sitting. We can have all the faith and confidence in the world, but it is useless if we are not doing anything with it. Faith without works is dead. The next position is to walk. The rest of verse 1 in Psalm 91 reads, "Shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." It is only when you have sat and dwelt in that secret place are we then able to walk and abide in the shadow of his wings. He gives us instructions on where to go, and he ensures our protection all along the way. In order to be successful in the wilderness, our steps have to be ordered. In the first verse of John chapter 4, it states that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, meaning the Spirit told him to go. In the natural eye, it would seem unreasonable for someone to just walk out into the wilderness. One looking on the outside would think that Jesus had a death wish. I mean, who in their right mind would walk out into the wilderness with no food, knowing that you could potentially be the dinner? But he was led by the Spirit. That goes to show that regardless of what the surroundings look like or what the situation looks like, if God took you to it, he will bring you through it unharmed. We often find ourselves in places and situations that seem a bit detrimental, and we end up getting hurt. Why? Because God didn't tell us to be there in the first place. He didn't tell us to hang around Bobo and them. He didn't tell us to hook up with Kiki and Charmaine. He told us to be right there, and we are all the way over here. The shadow provides protection. It provides comfort in knowing that God is there covering us so that we don't get scorched. On a hot, sunny day, we know the difference from when we are staying in the shade or not. The shadow is an indication of ensuring that we are in the right proximity of God's will. If we run too far ahead, we will get burned. If we stay too far behind, we too will get burned. Jesus was well prepared for the evil that was set before him, knowing that he would not be a victim to it. That's how confident God wants us to be. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The Holy Spirit, our informant, will guide us in the ways that we should go, but we must be able to live by the Spirit in order to walk in the Spirit. And lastly, we need to stand. As it was mentioned in the word that was preached 2 weeks ago, God is requiring us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We know that no good works come without visitation from the evil one. As it was in the will of God, God allowed Jesus to be tempted in the wilderness. Without those 40 days, Satan came, within those 40 days, Satan came to tempt Jesus on 3 occasions. He even quoted scripture from Psalm 91, 11, verses 11 through 12. But each time, Jesus, being filled with the Spirit and with scripture, he was able to counter all the devil's advances. That is something that is not unattainable for us. We have the same accesses to the Spirit and the Word as Jesus did to stand against the wiles of the devil. The problem is we give him too much power. If he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, and we know that Satan is the ultimate defeated foe, then there is no reason why we should be victorious. We should not be victorious over him each and every time. Now, while he is not to be given too much power, at the same time, he must not be underestimated. After Jesus shut down every temptation that was thrown at him, Satan departed until an opportune time. Just because Satan departs and God won the battle for that round, don't think he's not coming back. And he's not coming back with kitty gloves either. As long as there's breath in your body, Satan is coming to kill, steal, and destroy any love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, faith, meekness, all of that that you may possess. But if we sit in the presence of the Almighty, walk in accordance to his instructions, and stand against the wiles of the enemy, we would be successfully prepared for life as well as our wilderness experience. In the spirit of celebrating love today, I wanted to also point out verse 14 of Psalm 91. And it reads, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." In this particular verse, God himself is speaking and confirming deliverance to those who have set their love upon him. In this instant, love means to delight yourself, to cling, to make him your first priority. That is why, and that is what sit, stand, walk, and stand boils down to. Making Jesus your priority, your first love, so that he can protect you all the way. It doesn't mean that our wilderness experience containing harm and trial will not come our way. But with Jesus, it will not consume us. With Jesus, it may bruise us, but it will not break us. With Jesus, it will not destroy us. Just as he has shown us in the numerous examples of his love for the Father, we too should follow in the same manner by sitting, walking, and standing in the Lord. To reiterate a portion of the scripture that Pastor preached last week, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen.